In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I pray that they have given you your copy of what we're going to teach tonight, the process and the pathway to a pure heart. Amen. I want a pure heart. How about you? Amen. Have you ever had something come in you and you said something, you said, that wasn't me? Have you ever heard something come out of your mouth and you knew that it wasn't really what you wanted to say? Maybe it was something that slipped up and you go, where did that come from? Where did that come from? And how many's ever had that happen? And how many's ever had something pop out of your mouth that maybe you wanted to say it and you was trying to hold it back and it just came out, just popped out? How many's ever had that happen? And how many's ever had something you said and then later wished you could bring it back? I mean, do you know I don't know what size shoe you wear, but they tell me that your mouth size your mouth size and shoe size are just about the same size. How many's ever had to put your foot in your mouth before? Yeah, we don't have. The scripture said in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want a pure heart. How about you? I want a pure heart. And we're going to talk about that tonight, about that pure heart. I want that because it's a promise with that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to see God. You wouldn't be here tonight. I don't even have to ask. I don't even have to load the question and ask. You come tonight because you really desire to see God. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The first part we're going to talk to you about is that preparation, that process of a pure heart. And the first thing is that repentance is the excavation process. Now, most of these little boys like Kenny, what's on that picture up there? Excavator. Bobby, what else is on that picture up there? A Bible. You know? And these little boys, they know what an excavator is. And have you ever been in an excavator? Have you ever climbed in one? Yes. It's a mighty machine. It's a mighty, Brother Martin, you've operated one? Yeah. It's a mighty machine. It's a earth-moving machine. And I want to tell you, when you obey the Word of God, the Word of God begins to put something in your life where you have to move some things out of your life. Do you know, in order to get to a pure heart, you've got to be under the construction zone? Coley, I was there when you was born. And I always tell Coley that she's going to hear this all the rest of her life. Or maybe the rest of my life, okay. I was there. I heard her cry. I was outside the room. I heard her cry. Me and Grandma Pirtle, we were there on the outside. And Grandma Pirtle, she couldn't hold it. She started crying. I started crying, but Coley wasn't crying like we were crying. We were crying with joy. Coley was crying because she was born. But Coley, as sweet as you was, and we say innocent as you was, inside of you was the ability of evil. And every one of us is the same way. And Coley, do you know, as sweet as you have been, according to my side, do you know you still had to be born again? And even though you're born again, guess what you do have to do? You have to work on you. Because a pure heart is what we're after constantly. In the New Testament, it began by Jesus setting a precedent. The New Testament said there was a precedent. First, John the Baptist and Jesus preached about repentance. And we know that repentance is only the starting point of a true relationship with God. If you want to get to God, you got to have repentance. Everybody ought to say amen to that. Amen. And when a person has a repented attitude, again, we're going to say that word attitude. Everybody say attitude. Attitude. I wonder tonight, whenever a person has a repented attitude, they're going to allow God to live in their life. They're going to allow the authority of God. They're going to allow a man of God. They're going to be pastored. They're going to be shepherded by a man of God. But what is the altitude of your attitude? What does altitude mean? A height, right? The height. An airplane takes up and goes into that. Who has never flown in this place? You've never been aboard a plane. Okay, look at here. There's a few that has never been aboard a plane. Sister Pearl, you've never been up? Sister Martin, never been up? I'll tell you, it's a difference whenever you begin to take on altitude. Take on altitude. And have you ever seen somebody with an inflated attitude? Inflated attitude. And, you know, you ever had one of these little beach balls that says, do not overinflate? There's a lot of people, their attitude is inflated, out of bounds. But I want an attitude of gratitude. I want an attitude for Jesus Christ. But when you repent of your sins and you truly repent, you're going to quit negotiating with God and surrender to God. That's where I want to be. I don't want to negotiate with God. Oh, God, is this right? Oh, God. No. I want my heart to be surrendered. There's so many people that are on the seesaw of negotiation with God. Should I? Could I? Do? Would I? You know, can I do this? Should I do that? Or would I do that? Would it be wrong? No. I want to get to that place that my heart is pure and sensitive to God. If God is against it, and if it matters to God, it sure to matter to me. And it moves one from a different place, a position in their attitude. When people begin to say, what is the least or the bare minimum I need to do to be saved? To the place where they had an attitude, say, God, I'm willing to do whatever. We need to get to that place that we say to God, I'm willing to do whatever to be saved. I want a pure heart. So guess what happens? How many's ever heard a dump truck, big truck, excavator, bulldozer, when they put it in reverse? What do you hear? Kenny, what do you hear when you hear that? What starts saying? When they start going backwards, that means reverse. What do you hear when that big excavator goes backwards? Beep, beep. Everybody go beep, beep, beep. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to back up and let him have his way. God wants his way in your life. And when you finally let God have his way, how beautiful it is, because you're at the start of something in your life. God wants you to be under construction. And the key points today, the New Testament opens it with a call for repentance from both Jesus and John the Baptist. And that call for repentance is still today. And Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. And you got to repent. There's no way about it. Brother John, will you bring this to them? You got to repent of your sins. We've talked about that. But a repented attitude is so important. You got to have a repented attitude. And you know, a dead man, you could pinch him and he doesn't feel it. You could twist his nose and he don't feel it. You could pull his ear. He doesn't feel it. And when you're really, really dead to self, I mean, man, it don't matter, because you're dead to sin. You're dead to your will. God could say whatever, and you're not going to get upset at God. You're not going to get upset when the pastor has to impose things and begin to say, hey, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I feel that this is a danger zone. And when the Lord begins to reveal some things that are dangerous, you don't have to go in argue mode and attitude mode. How dare you? No, you're there to say, God, if it's bad, I don't want it. You know, rat poison, they say, is 99% bad stuff. I mean, good stuff. 1% bad. There's a lot of good stuff, but so, Coley, if I had 100 bottles up here, and they look like water bottles, and I say, Coley, one of these has got poison in it. You got 99% chance of not getting a bad one. But if you were me, I mean, I'd be the one that got the bad one, wouldn't you? I'd end up with that one. And sin has a way. Sin is not a percentage deal. It only takes one little thing to corrupt a whole life. Brother and Sister Martin grow potatoes, and they would tell you one rotten tater makes the whole bushel bad. And sin has that way of making your whole life bad. And I want to tell you, a skunk don't have to do too much to it now that it is there. It just stinks, doesn't it? I mean, he's ever been down the road before, and all of a sudden you've got the welcome smell. You know, there was a skunk in the neighborhood. I want to just talk to you tonight. Repentance is not the end, but it's the beginning of a true relationship and a true path to a pure heart. And I love it. God desires for us to be taught. God, a repentant spirit and attitude will be the one that says, I want to be teachable, Pastor. Teach me. And they're going to say to God, teach me how to say no to some things. Teach me to submit to your authority, God. And teach me to stop negotiating with the things that you're trying to teach me and get over to me. Repentance is the excavation process. Removing sin, pride, deception, and guess what? Everybody say rebellion. Rebellion. Rebellion has a bell to it. It's got a ring to it, doesn't it? Rebellion. Now, I want to ask this tonight, and our reflection questions that I handed out. Why did John and Jesus both start off with repentance? Does anybody know why? Why is repentance so important? Yeah, salvation, it leads to the path of salvation. Why is repentance so important? Anybody? Yeah, you got to remove some things in order to get to the place where you need to be. There must be a surrender. There must be a turning. There must be a giving of self and a surrender. So the next question, what does true repentance look like beyond saying, I am sorry? There's a lot of people, repentance is just looking like just saying, I'm sorry. What does repentance look like? Anybody going to help me tonight? Sir? Walking away from it. Yeah. Anybody else? Something you thought of? Brother Chad? Not going back to it. Uh-huh. Kind of be like the prodigal son, Brother Chad. When he went to the pig pen, you know what he did to those piggies? Gave them a permanent wave. He didn't go back. He didn't say, see you later. He left them behind. All right. Why is surrender necessary in repentance? Anybody? Why is surrender necessary? Brother Wesley? That's right. You got to be totally surrendered. And how can we show that we truly desire God's ways in our daily walk with God, in our daily relationship? How do you show that? Yeah, by having a relationship and an attitude of repentance. Everybody say attitude of repentance. Now, we talked about last week God's hate list and the Beatitudes. Before we go into the Beatitudes tonight, does anybody know what Beatitudes mean? Can you remember what Beatitudes meant? Beautiful attitude. Sister Kristen, I want a beautiful attitude. But there are some things that the Bible begins to talk about that are called Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes that Jesus talked about. Now, we know in the book of Proverbs that there is a hate list. Have you ever been on a hate list? You ever felt like you've been on a hate list before? Somebody hated you? Well, you're on a hate list of the devil. He hates you. So, here's some things that God hates. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. God hates a proud look. He hates, what's the next thing he hates? Mm-hmm. What's the next one? And I need a little girl to read the number 4. What is the next thing God hates? That devises what? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Number 5, I need a young boy to read it. Young got a few little ones that don't. Jay, can you read number 5? Yeah, feet that are quick to do mischief. Number 6, I need a lady to read it. False witness. What about number 7? What about a gentleman tonight? Man. A sour discord. A sour, huh? A sour of discord. Yeah. It is sour, everything. A sour discord. Now, that's the things that God hates. It's spirits and attitudes that God... Do you know all this hate list is all dealing with attitude too? Proud look. You ever seen somebody whose nose is in the air and if it rained, they would drown? Yeah. What about a lying tongue? You know, a lying tongue represent an attitude, a wicked attitude. What about a hands that shed innocent blood? It's an attitude. It's a spirit in it. And what about a heart that devises wicked imaginations? Always instigating, devising wicked. Yep. Feet that are quick to run to mischief. What about a false witness? All of his attitude. He that sour discord, brother. But the Beatitudes we read a while ago, or we talked about, are ideal attitudes that Christ blesses. And I've listed those for us tonight. Who could give me one of them tonight? What's the next one, someone? The next one? The next one? And the next one? Give me the next one. What about the next one? And number 9? You know, God hates the other attitudes, but he loves a beautiful attitude. Do you know the pathway to a pure heart is whenever the beautiful attitudes are starting to be in place in your life? God wants you to be beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to be beautiful. But I heard something a long time ago. Beauty is as beauty does. I've seen attractive people that had all the features of being attractive, but they had an ugly spirit. I remember he's ever seen me. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people that were beautiful. They may not have had the prettiest facial features, but they had a beauty that went beyond what Maybelline could give them. They had a beauty from the inside. They had something that begins to come from the end, a beautiful spirit, a beautiful attitude. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people think they got to look beautiful for the mirror. I got to look beautiful. I got to be just beautiful. You know what? Well, we got to be beautiful for God. What matters to God should matter to you. I want to be beautiful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want his opinion. Now, my neighbor's opinion, my opinion doesn't count, but God's opinion does count. Somebody say amen. Now, we're going to do something here tonight, just a little different. Sister Christian, you have your iPad. Okay. Would you go to the Amplified? Or I'll tell you what, you go to the message in your text comparison. Brother Brian Pirtle, I want you to come up and help me read from the King James. And we read it a while ago about the Beatitudes, but the blessed in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Sister Kristen, if you would come up and help me read from the message. And I'm going to read from the Amplified. Now, I've had people tell me, oh, you're sinning because you're reading from another version. Well, the King James Version was the first really translated version into English. We use it, but it doesn't mean it's evil for me to use the Amplified just to find out what's, you know, the King James. We don't say, I don't tell my wife, thou art so beautiful. I say, honey, you're sweet. You're beautiful. I don't go, Wesley, you're so strong, Wesley. Ye are so, no, I say you are strong. There's a lot of thous and different things in the King James that is Old English. That doesn't make it wrong. So we use different versions sometimes just to see what it says and some old words that are a little different today and easier to understand. Watch this. Okay? Give me verse 3, Brother Brian.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Sister Kristen, what does yours say?
You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you there is more of God and His rule.
Blessed when you're at the end of your rope. When there's less of you and more of God. Are you thankful for that today? Amen. Listen to what mine says. Blessed, that spiritual prosperity and happiness, are the poor in spirit. Those are devoid of spiritual arrogance. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. What's the next one, Brother Brian? Verse 4.
Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted.
Sister Kristen? Mine says, blessed or forgiven and refreshed by God's grace are those who mourn over their sin and their past, for they shall be comforted when their burden is lifted. Brother Brian, next one.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Sister Chris, isn't it? Yes. Blessed are the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-control. They're going to inherit the things that God has promised. Number 6, Brother Brian.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Sister Kristen?
You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. Use food and drink and the best meal you've ever seen.
Wow, I love that. Blessed that when you work up a good attitude, appetite for God, He's going to be the blessed food, the best food you ever had. How many wants an attitude and an appetite that go together for God? Mine says this, blessed are those that are nourished by God's goodness, are those that hunger and thirst for what is right, the right standing things of God. Number 7. Sis, go ahead.
You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves careful.
Mine says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Just like he read. Verse 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
You're blessed when you get your mind inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world.
It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Those that have a godly character, a godly courage, they're going to see God. Verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Listen to this one. Go ahead, sis.
You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate and set up compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family.
Mine says, blessed are the makers and maintainers of peace. For they will express His character and be called the sons of God. Number 10.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom.
Mine says the same thing as Brother Brian. Blessed are those that are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Verse 11, Brother Brian. Listen to what Sister Kristen says.
Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit you. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable.
Wow. Number 12, Brother Brian. Sister Kristen?
You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer, even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble.
Are Are you thankful tonight that we got a great God that loves those that have a beautiful spirit? You know what I see? I see in every case, God says, though you're in adversity, you kept a beautiful spirit, a beautiful attitude. Guess what? I'm going to come through for your attitude. And I'm thankful today that I have that kind of God that is helping me. The pathway and the process of those that want to get to a pure heart, it starts with a repentant spirit and attitude that says, God, I want to measure up. I want to measure up to the things of God. I want you to think about it. Why do you think God hates these bad attitudes? What do you think he hates them for? Why do you think God's so much against the proud? That's exactly. Because it's against his nature. The next thing I'm going to ask, what does make sowing discord so particularly dangerous, especially in a church? Why does sowing discord? Brother Chad. Because it divides brother against brother. It turns people against each other. Okay? The next question, how do the Beatitudes provide the opposite of what we call the hate list? How is that? How do they take the other side of the field, the playing field, other than the hate list? Anybody? You see, while ago, the hate list is all attitudes, and the Beatitudes are beautiful attitudes. How do they take the opposite side? How do they become something that God loves? That's right. They make a connection to God. And when you connect to God, you're removing. You see that excavator? It starts moving anything out of its way. Anything that's not supposed to be there. And an excavator begins to work, and it digs. And it digs deep inside. And it begins to work. That's what repentance does. It's a process that begins to say, God, I got to get that right. I got to fix that. I got to work on that, or I got to maintain that. I got to work on me. It's easy for me to work on somebody else. It's easy for me to look at old Thomas over here and start saying, look at Thomas. Look how he does. Da, 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 da. But Thomas, it's hard when we have to work on ourselves. God wants you to work on you. Let the excavator start its work and the process of construction. In order for construction to happen, there's a lot of things that has to come about. Let me just tell you, anything of value and if it's costly, it's going to take time and effort. When you're building a house, there's many trades and skills that are involved, such as painting, plumbing, electrical, roofing, flooring. And one would be crazy all of a sudden just to say, well, you know what I want to do? I want to hang sheetrock first. And they'll take a wall and they put sheetrock on it, and you're going to say, what about your wiring? Do y'all know, girls, do you know that in these walls there's wires? And if you got plumbing, you got to run the plumbing through a wall sometimes to have a sink, like in the impact room. There is a pipe inside of that wall. How many's never knew that? Let me see your hand. Okay. There's things in that wall. And that has to be done in order to build a house, to build a structure. There's a lot of different things that has to be put together. And when we are working on our spiritual relationship with God, there's a lot of different things that has to be worked on. When a kid goes to school, there's a lot of things. They don't start off with biology. They start learning how to pronounce A, B. B says what? Cammy can do that. Cammy, what does C say? What does D say? She sounds it out. The word B-A-L-L. You don't have to think about it, Coley, now, but your little baby sister has to look at it and go, B-A-L-L. I mean, remember that day you had a child, some of your parents, and they started sounding out some things. There's some things you have to start sounding out when you are working on you. You have to look at it. And it's not immediately. That's the reason why in the church of the living God, we better be an example. They may be a babe in Christ. They may be brand new. They may not know it all. But that don't mean I come to them and I begin to say, you're an idiot. No. Everybody grows in Christ. Everybody has to make a beginning. You have to make a progress. And how beautiful it is that one day that child looks and sees the word D-A-D and said, Dad! That's Dad! And when you look at the word Dad, you don't get excited anymore because you've pronounced it for years. You know how to read it. I want to know tonight how beautiful it is for you to discover something in God and to grow in God. Amen. You start removing some things and putting some things together in your life. There's construction, there's structure, and there's excavation. There's things that you're removing out of your life and different things that you're putting aside. And Jesus, when he first came on the scene in the New Testament, he started with the ABCs of a relationship that we call repentance. That's the reason why we teach so heavily, except you repent, you're going to perish. You'll never grow in God until you first surrender. And one way to look at the structure, the different beatitudes, I want you to look at it. The beatitudes were different things and attitudes that all were in order and in a process to get to what we call the pure in heart. These attitudes were building blocks. On your notes, you'll see, first of all, this is our goal. We want a foundation of a pure heart. I want a foundation in my life that has something pure, because if your foundation is not right, your building will not be right. If your heart is not right, your life will not be right. So, in looking at this, we had to put some things in order. The next slide begins to show the different beatitudes. There's humility. There's compassion. There's meekness. There's desire and forgiveness that has to be added together in order for that big foundation to come on top of it, for it to hold up what we call the pure heart. You got to be humble. You can't have a pure heart if you don't have humility. If you don't have compassion, you'll never have a pure heart. If you don't have meekness, you can't have a pure heart. If you don't have a desire, you'll never grow and have a pure heart. And if you don't have forgiveness, guess what? You can't have a pure heart. All these different things have to come together in order for there to be a pure heart. Are you thankful? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for there is a promise that goes with that. They shall see God. These five major foundation stones, humility, compassion, meekness, desire, and forgiveness. It's amazing how they will hold things up. You know, when excavation occurs, we start removing stumps. A man walks to a field and looks out here and he says, you know what? I want a house right here. In order to build a house, I got to move some stumps. I got to move some trees. I got to dig out the roots. I got to get all the sandy soil and rocks out of it. Things are moved and things are prepared for the foundation. God wants you to remove some things. Attitudes are the biggest thing that hinders our life. Have you ever seen somebody with a stinking attitude? And all of a sudden, they want you to think that they were spiritual. They had an attitude that stunk so bad, like a rotten egg. But yet, they wanted to propose that they were so spiritual. You know, that's the reason why the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have true love, what good is my tongue? You can pretend to be spiritual all day, but if there is not a foundation and attitudes inside of you that reflect God in these beatitudes, your spirituality is mighty shallow. Because it's not how much you speak in tongues. It's how faithful you are to let God rule in your life. Excavation is not pretty. Heavy equipment is required. It's noisy. It's dusty. Debris is hauled off. The site is prepped for a building. Excavation work is not quick. And sometimes we go through some things, don't we? Have you ever had to have work on your spirit? You know, I have to work on me. And there's something we've learned. People are going to be people. People will rub you wrong. People will rub you crazy. People will bug you. People will booger you up. People will bother you. When you deal with humans, you always have to keep your soul in check. And even as a pastor, guess what? I'm not perfect. I had to keep my attitude right. I had to work on me. I had to get remove the root. The Bible says a root of bitterness springing up defiles many. Guess what I have to do? I have to excavate bitterness and that root of bitterness. I got to go through a stony heart. You ever seen somebody who had a hard heart? It's an attitude. It's a spirit of the heart. We have to work the right stuff inside of us. We have to pray. We have to work. And we have to begin to say, God, I need you. You can't just avoid excavation processes in your life. I mean, it's a work that has to be done. So tonight, the Beatitudes are progressive building blocks we talked about that we have to work. We have to get ourselves in order. We have to check ourselves. You know, it's kind of like Daddy said when I was a kid. He said, we don't take instant baths. In other words, he said, you just don't take Right Guard and spray it underneath you. You don't just take cologne. He said, what you need is a good bath. You got to change your clothes. You got to change your socks. Hallelujah, somebody's saying. You got to have a change. You can't stay the way you are. I don't care how much perfume you put on. Have you ever felt, you ever smelt somebody that had some nasty perfume? Have you ever smelt somebody that had nasty body odor? And have you ever been around somebody with a bad spirit? A stinking spirit cannot be masked. I don't care how spiritual they appear. It takes dealing with a wrong spirit and dealing with ourselves. The necessity of deep repentance. Hear me tonight. You know, Jesus taught the necessities of foundations. You remember the Sermon on the Mountain where Jesus began to talk about the parable of the wise and the foolish builders? You know the story, but let's just look at it. Both buildings went under a construction process. Both buildings went through storms, floods, and ferocious winds. And both buildings were challenged. But what was the difference? I want to look at Luke, what he had to say. Luke said, the man that builds a house is like a man that hears and does and digs deep and lays the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently on the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation that built a house on the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want you to note something with me. The wise builder had to dig deep and lay a foundation. He incorporated excavation process. He had to dig before setting the stones of his foundation, the rock of his foundation. And sadly, we live in an hour, there's shallow repentance where we really don't dig on ourselves. We don't dig deep. We're not sincere. With shallow repentance is insincere and short-lived. It's often the result of someone wanting relief and not a necessary change. I want you to catch what I just said tonight. There's some people just when they come to the altar, they want relief, but they don't want to change. There's a vast difference. God wants you not just to have relief. God wants you to change. There's people that get under a bind. They get to having problems in their life. They can't handle it. And they come to God for relief, but they don't come to God to change them. You got to be honest. You got to deal with yourself. You're dealing with the God of heaven whenever you repent of your sins. You're not dealing with your spouse. You're not dealing with a friend or a brother-in-law or a neighbor. You're dealing with the God that you have to be honest with. You have to be earnest with. And God is looking for somebody to admit, God, I have wrongdoings. I've done wrong. I've been tripping over the same thing. I've been sporting a wrong attitude. I've been blaming others. It's laughable to think that you could live for God without repentance. Repentance is more than words. There's going to be a spirit of repentance. It means repentance will change your attitude towards life, towards God, and towards sin, towards people, towards the church. And when there's no change, that means there's no true repentance. Remember John the Baptist? Before he would baptize somebody, he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. There's no negotiation or compromise in real repentance. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain, this was the conclusion. The wise man just didn't hear, but he did. He obeyed. He dug deeply. He built wisely. And he survived the storms. I want you to understand tonight, there's some things that are non-negotiable in our spirit foundations. We've got to have a right spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me about your attitude, and I'm going to pray about my attitude. We're going to pray together tonight. Lord Jesus, help me with me, Lord Jesus, of all people. Help me, oh God, to have a hearing ear, seeing eye, and a heart to receive, a mind that is open to you. God, help my spirit, my attitude. Lord, like your psalmist said, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Teach me, Lord God. Work on me, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, tonight. Work on my spirit. Work on my attitude. Help me, Lord, I pray. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Stand. Your attitude is showing. It's going to show. Your attitude will show. Your attitude will show exactly what it's all about. But when it's surrendered to God, how beautiful, it's going to show too. It's a right spirit will show. I want that in my life. I want that in our church. I want you to do something with me. I want you to guard you. I want you to guard you from a wrong spirit. How do we get a wrong spirit, Brother Crosswhite? A wrong spirit comes from a wrong attitude. A wrong attitude is easy to be influenced. Easy to be influenced by somebody else. Have you ever been around somebody and they gripe about everything? I went to eat with somebody one time and they gripe about everything. I mean, they gripe if the hamburger wasn't just right, if it had onions on, if they didn't have onions, gripe. Nothing could be right to them. What about your spirit? What about your mannerism? Just when people come next to you, they don't want to be around you because of your spirit and your attitude. Or do you have a godly attitude that people around you just say, there's something about you that makes me want to be right next to you? How would you like to be in war, in the trench, with somebody with a bad attitude? Somebody always griping. You know it's hot right now. Yes, hot. You're in a battlefield. Oh, you know, these stinking MREs. You know what MREs are? Anybody know? That's some soldier meals that come in a little envelope, and you have to open it up. These MREs, It'd be like us going to the jail, brother. They're griping about jail food. You know what I tell them sometimes? This ain't Holiday Inn. This is not the steakhouse. This is the jailhouse. So bologna and grits, that's your meal. One time they had bologna gumbo there. Yeah. Can you imagine? It's the jail. But there are some people that's going to gripe whether they had a steak or not. And in the house of God, we need to guard ourselves from a wrong spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Look at somebody and say, I need you. I need you to be on my team. And as a pastor tonight, Sister Quinn, I need you. I need you, Sister Nina. Brother Martin, I need you. Brother Atkins, I sure need you on my team. Brother Williams, I sure need you. You got a right punch, boy, when you get to praying. You've been through so many battles, Brother Williams. This young preacher of 56, this young preacher sure needs you. That vicious right hook, I need to be next to you because, man, you've been through some, you know how to punch the devil back. Sister Pearl, I sure need you. You've taught a lot of kids in your years how to live for God. I sure need you on my team. Sister Beth, I sure need you on my team. Yeah, I need you. Gloriana, I sure need you on my team. Boy, I love it, Katie, when you pray for me. I need you on my team. Now point to somebody else and tell them, I need you on my team. Hallelujah. Well, the team we're talking about is his team. And when we're on his team, we're on the winning side. Would you thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost right now, the Spirit of God? God, I thank you for victory tonight in this congregation. Help us, oh God, to walk the walk, talk the talk, fight the fight, and be who you've called us to be. We love and we praise you tonight. Help us, Jesus. We give you honor. Everybody say amen. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's go to heaven. Yeah.